92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite. It is 8:50, and I have a special guest in the studio. Sarah Leach. Former editor of the Holland Sentinel. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for reaching out. I was going to reach out, but I was going to give you a little time. You know, when something like this happens, rumors fly, and those of us in the business, we find out, and sometimes we reach out, and other times we're like, I don't know what to say. But I'm glad that you reached out, and I'm glad that you're here. So let's start at the beginning. What has happened, and we'll move from there.
Well, I was recently let go from my position with Gannett that ultimately oversaw the Holland Sentinel along with many other papers. And the reason was that I was trying to advocate for us to get more reporters into what we call ghost newsrooms, where we own these small papers in these small towns and they don't have any reporters to actually report the news.
Exactly.
And so I was advocating pretty strongly and was not getting anywhere. So then I tried to speak to a colleague at the Poynter Institute, which is a journalism nonprofit that helps advocate for these sorts of issues and things for journalists. And my company fired me for it.
Wow. They fired you for trying to staff a newsroom?
Well, yeah, I think that really the vibe that I got was that I was disloyal. And okay. I would argue that I think that the most loyal thing that I could do in that position was to try to advocate for resources.
Yeah, exactly. And if management out there thinks that other journalists don't talk to other journalists, then you don't know what. Come on.
I know.
I talk to you. I talk to people at Wood TV. I talk to people at other radio stations. It's what we do.
Right. And you know, we're trained to ask questions.
Yes.
And when we're shut down in those conversations, it's very disheartening. And it really makes me worried about how local journalism is going to survive.
There's so much to talk about. And if we get to the top of the hour, you and I are going to continue this conversation. I'll just let the news play and I'll roll tape and we'll piece this all together because there's a lot to talk about. I think it's important to state to the audience that a lot of people, you know, they see what they see on TV, they read what they read, they hear what they hear, and they think that they kind of have an idea of what broadcasting is about, and they really don't. And those of us that have been at this a really long time, you know, we saw the Telecommunications Act signed in the 90s. Everything became consolidated. You know, when Ottawa Impact Joe Moss poked fun of the fact that some of the TV stations in town weren't owned locally, that told me, you don't know anything about broadcasting, because if you did, you'd know that most radio stations, TV stations, they are owned by huge corporations. We're owned locally.
Right.
Okay. Our owners are in Lansing.
Right.
I have the freedom to bring another journalist on the radio.
Right.
If we were in Grand Rapids, they would have to go through the corporate chain and it would take 2 weeks to get an answer.
Right. And a lot of the newspaper companies are getting larger and larger, and they operate the exact same way. And I don't necessarily begrudge them the way that what they have to do in order to make money. But the problem is that you get these unintended consequences. And so that really puts brand and profits over listening to your own people.
Tell me about some of the unintended consequences.
Well, I was overseeing 26 newspapers across 4 states, and 5 of them are ghost newsrooms for over a year.
And that means that nobody is there locally.
Right.
That's what somebody is writing from another state? Is that or maybe from another part of the state or whatever?
Usually they pull from whatever the larger company asset is. So in the case of Gannett, it would be from USA Today. But in a lot of other chains, I would assume that it would be the Associated Press.
Okay. I mean, I have a news service that I use, okay? And the first thing that I do when I come in the morning, I go to the Grand Haven Tribune, then I go to the Sentinel, then I go to Wood TV, then I go to my news service.
Right.
That's what I do. I'm a one-woman newsroom. So this has happened. I know that you have 3 children. You live in the area. Do you have any regrets?
That's a good question.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
I know. I mean, honestly, it's scary to put all of this out there.
I know it is.
I worry about whether or not this is something that will help or hurt the industry. I don't want to hurt my former colleagues.
I know you don't.
I love them and adore them. I hired all of them.
Right.
And I want them to continue to succeed. But I also think that we really need to force this conversation to happen, because we have companies that are making decisions about how news is covered in these local towns, and the communities are not shareholders in that conversation. They don't have a seat at the table. And I don't think that they know that they should be advocating to have some transparency and honesty in how their local media operates.
Right.
And we need to do something about that. I don't claim to know what that answer is, but I'm just hoping that if anything productive out of this unfortunate situation can come of it, is that we really start talking about this and maybe start looking at how local news is delivered, because it's not intended to maximize profits. Local community papers are not meant to grow constantly. They're not meant to just expand and expand. That's more of a macro model for larger markets, for metro markets.
Right.
Community models are different. They're about serving the need and giving quality information to people so that they can make informed choices.
You were nominated for a Pulitzer Prize for your coverage of Ottawa County. What are you doing right now? Let's talk about the Substack and what you're doing right now in this moment.
Yeah, I tried to pivot quickly because one of my biggest concerns is that I did not want to let the community down. I think that we are in the middle of what is arguably the most important election season in Ottawa County history. And I know that people have come to rely on the Sentinel for that kind of information. It's not just me. It's the coverage of the entire staff. And it was a really comprehensive approach. And I thought that we were doing a really good job given what we had to work with.
Right.
So I am trying to fill that void, and I'm not competing with the Sentinel. I am trying to augment the content that they have. And I think that that is what readers need, and I'm trying to just fulfill that need. In the meantime, I'm freelancing. Like you said, I have my own Substack. I'm picking up freelance agreements with local and state and national outlets. And I'm going to be fine. I just want to make sure that I'm seeing through my commitment that I made a year and a half ago to Ottawa County.
That's a big commitment. At the end of the day, you have bills to pay. You don't owe anybody anything, Sarah. You do not owe anyone anything but yourself, but I understand where you're coming from because you're so dedicated to what you do.
Right. Well, I mean, honestly, principles only mean something when they're difficult to uphold.
That's true. Yeah. And so now, you know, we may be seeing you. I mean, you're going to be doing some freelance stuff. I would love you to come in here every month if I can get you to come in here every month.
I think I can do that.
Absolutely love that. It's so interesting to me how much things have changed. And, you know, I remember a time when it was so important to be the first person with that story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something that happened to me this week. I had a typo in a headline and somebody messaged me on Facebook about it. And I was mortified because I wasn't here to fix it. I was so embarrassed, but stuff
we've all been there.
We're not perfect. We make mistakes. You can't expect somebody to know how to pronounce every Dutch name, just like you can't expect people to know how to pronounce Gratiot and Livernois and Lake Orion over on the other side of the state.
Right, right. Right.
We do what we do, and then you know when you start to get involved in the community and you start providing that information, I think you do kind of take ownership of it. I know what you're saying. You feel like I came in this morning and my attitude is every day, I'm here to serve the public. This isn't
right.
about me. Yeah, okay, this is a radio show. I play music. I have a little personality. I have little things that I do. But the majority of what we do is we're here for the community.
Right. It's not just a job for me. I mean, I've done this my entire adult life. I've never worked in any other business prior, since college. And I truly believe that this is an important component to democracy. Like, I am all in.
Do you find it frustrating? Well, we're going to be running out of time, so we're going to continue this conversation off the air, and then I'll piece this all together. But it's interesting to me when I run into young adults going into broadcasting. I would never, ever want to discourage somebody from following a dream. Trust me, because people tried to discourage me, and maybe they tried to discourage you. But my gosh, in this day and age, you better have some tough skin, and you better be ready to pay your dues.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not for the weak of heart.
No, it's
That's
not.
For sure.
We're going to continue this conversation with Sarah Leach off the air. Stay tuned.
Your home.
So we're continuing the conversation off the air, which is so the beauty of radio. I can do this. I don't have to, you know, it's automated. Things are rolling and they're running the way that they're supposed to run. I think it's very brave what you did. You know, of course, a lot of people, people that support Ottawa Impact, you know, they're celebrating this. They think that they had something to do with it. We know that they didn't. But it's very brave to do what you did.
Well, I, you know, in my spare time, which I...
You don't have any spare time. Who are you kidding?
Oh, my sides. but I'm also heavily involved in my alma mater at Central Michigan University. I'm on their advisory board of professionals. I helped during, you know, the pandemic to help coach and mentor a lot of these young people. We hire a lot of these young people. And in these small markets, we often are working with these young people as they're beginning steps to their career.
Right.
And they have a lot of concerns, and I feel those concerns deeply. Like I can so relate to when I graduated, and they're asking a lot of questions about the future of this business that I cannot answer. And that, wow, that really inspires me to try to push for answers for the places that I work for, because I'm not anti-media company. It's just that we need to remember what the mission is. And we need to be transparent with the audiences that we're serving.
Yeah.
And
do.
How.
Right.
And so what are we going to do to address this crisis? Don't just put lipstick on it.
Right.
Don't just, you know, try to, you know, platitudes and stuff that don't cut it. If you can't figure it out, then say you can't. And then let's have a conversation.
Right. Instead of just painting this rosy picture that, you know, everything is fine.
Right.
You're going to be doing some freelance for the Detroit News. Am I correct on that?
I think so. I mean, they seem to think that we might be able to work something out. I've already written for the Washington Post last week. That was really exciting.
And what was that about again?
I helped to cover the Trump rally over in Freeland.
Okay. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. And I've got a couple of other things set up. I have an agreement with the Grand Haven Tribune, and I'm talking to a couple of local radio stations over the next week that seem to be interested. So I'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I just didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to just take my toys and go home and just and then just sort of move on with my life and like it never happened. It just, I put my heart and my soul into this coverage over the last 18 months because I thought it was one of the most important things that I could do in the situation that we're in. And I don't want to stop. I want to see it through. It doesn't feel right to walk away.
You are so dedicated. And I want to tell you that everything is going to work out. And, I walked away from a full-time job about 4 years ago. The host used a racial slur, and nothing was done. And I felt like I was attached to that, and I felt like I was associated with that, and I quit. I walked away from a full-time job, and I paid the price in terms of, you know, I had to do some other things before I was able to get back into radio. But it was the best thing that I ever did because I was able to come here at WGHN and then everything kind of opened up for me. It was a great place that I worked. I learned a ton about doing hard news and this and that, but I had to walk away from that and take a stand for myself.
Right.
Because I couldn't sleep at night. I kept thinking, are people going to associate me with this? And what does this mean for my reputation? And I felt like I was on an island all by myself. And
right.
I want you to know you're not on an island all by yourself.
Thank
you're
you.
Not. You are not on an island. I am here. There are other people that are here for you. We understand the situation, and we understand broadcasting and journalism, and you are going to be just fine. But it is initially scary.
Yeah,
I get it.
I will tell you that I have had people come out of the woodwork, people I haven't worked with in years, people that I met in school, saying how proud they are of me. And
yeah. It's a lot, isn't it?
It's very overwhelming. And I mean, the journalism community is a wonderful one. And we really do support one another. And that has meant everything to me.
Yeah. I have to be honest. I was afraid. I brought you in last year and I thought, she is a full-fledged journalist. I'm a radio girl.
Don't sell yourself short.
I'm like, she's not going to come on my show. I'm a radio girl. And my friend, we have some mutual friends, and my friend was like, just email. She'll come on your show. Come on. And then we met, and it was just like, oh my gosh.
We knew each other forever.
That's what it felt like. That's what it felt like. It was just so interesting. So I look forward to, tell us where people can go to subscribe to that Substack.
Yes. The name of my Substack is Sentinel Leech. So just look for that. And that's also my email, and that's also my Twitter handle. So I know some people asked me if I was going to change it, but in all honesty, I feel like I came by it honestly. I feel like I earned that title, and I'm keeping it.
I would agree. Good for you. Good for you. Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. The kids are doing good and everything?
The kids are doing great. Okay. My littlest was a little grumpy because that Trump rally was on her 7th birthday. Two days after I got let go. But I she's very understanding and she loves me a lot. And we're gonna have a great weekend and spoil her and me.
Happy Mother's Day. Sarah Leach, 92.1 WGHN, Grand Haven's favorite.